Hello, and welcome to this special science podcast from the 2009 AAAS Annual Meeting in Chicago, Illinois. It's February 15th. I'm Robert Frederick. In this short podcast, we'll hear from Science Now editor David Grimm with a wrap-up of some of the mini-stories here at the AAAS meeting. Hi, David.
Hey, Rob.
So I know you're blogging here at this meeting.
Yeah, we've been posting a lot of stories during the meeting.
Who's contributing?
Well, we got a few of our staff reporters here, as well as a couple of freelancers.
How many stories are you putting up per day on average?
Well, it really depends on the day, but yesterday we actually put up 12 items. The day before, I think we put up around 7, so we're really getting a lot of good stuff out of the meeting. And so far, we have about 22 items.
Well, we don't have time to talk about all 22 of your stories. So which ones have you brought with you to talk about today?
Well, first of all, there's been some good news from the oceans. Researchers have discovered that some species of sponges make a compound that could be important in combating bacteria that have developed antibiotic resistance.
Where will this be useful?
Well, this could have a lot of medical applications. Researchers say that we could put this compound, say, in stents or artificial limbs to prevent infections.
Any other good news?
Well, there's one other piece of good news, and the good news here is just good news itself.
Really?
Well, yeah. Marine biologists are saying that it's important to share good news about the oceans. We hear so many stories of bad news about coral reefs dying and fish populations dying that it's easy to convince ourselves that there's really nothing that can be done. But researchers at the meeting say there have been some success stories. There are coral reef populations that are thriving better than expected. And the United States has experienced a dramatic comeback in its haddock stocks, which were very low up until very recently, but they've really rebounded. And the marine biologists to say overall, it's important to share with the public these success stories.
So that the oceans aren't seen as a lost cause.
Exactly. So people realize that there's still something they can do and that what they do is still important because the oceans provide so much of our food and so many people depend on the ocean for their livelihoods.
Okay, what's next?
Well, next is some bad news, and this bad news has to do with climate change. And it turns out that the IPCC, which is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they've made some pretty dire predictions about how bad things are going to get on Earth in terms of warming and in terms of rising sea levels. And at the meeting, researchers say that, unfortunately, those bad predictions haven't been bad enough. It turns out that we're pumping a lot more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than even the IPCC predicted. And that's going to lead to even more warming than they anticipated. And what's more, it's going to mean that sea levels are actually rising twice as fast as many of the IPCC predictions had forecast.
What changed in that their prediction was so off before?
Well, one of the problems is developing countries like China, which are actually burning a lot more coal than the IPCC had predicted, and that's belching a lot more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And there's just also things that they didn't take into account in terms of how sea levels rise in the first place, and it turns out there's other factors in there which could make sea levels rise a lot quicker than we thought they would. And of course, Rob, that's a big problem for anybody who lives near the coast. Rising sea levels could inundate a lot of major cities, and in fact, Al Gore talked about the Maldives, who actually have money in their country's budget to buy themselves a new country. And we did a story about that, too, in the blog.
Right. I was there at Al Gore's speech on Friday night. The island looked like it was about to sink.
Exactly. And Al Gore actually talked a lot about some very dire predictions about where Earth is headed. A lot of it was sort of an updating of the themes that he's discussed in his An Inconvenient Truth, his book and his movie. He talked about, how this year when 1 million people were evacuated from New Orleans, nobody seemed to notice. And he asked, is this the new normal? But mainly Gore's speech was almost a call to arms for scientists. You know, he really was encouraging scientists at the meeting to get him more involved in politics. And here's a clip from that.
Scientists can no longer, in good conscience, this is my view, I believe strongly that scientists can no longer, in good conscience, accept this division between the work you do and the civilization in which you live. I'm asking you for help. I believe in my heart that we do have the capacity to make this generation one of those generations that changes the course of humankind.
And what Gore means by that is he really wants scientists to get much more involved in politics. He wants them to be educating the public, but he also wants them to be talking to politicians and trying to get more legislation passed that's going to prevent CO2 emissions. One of Gore's big targets for the evening was so-called clean coal. And he really believes that this is a total misnomer, that there is no such thing as clean coal. And he wants scientists to get really involved to combat this perception that burning fossil fuels won't do any harm to the environment. And speaking of celebrities, Charles Darwin has obviously been a major topic of discussion at this meeting, this being the 200th anniversary of his birth and the 150th anniversary of his publication of On Origin of Species. And one session in particular was filled with paleoanthropologists who were talking about if they had a chance to show Darwin one fossil, if he was still alive today, what would they show him? And we have a blog item about what that would be.
And which fossil of all the fossils would scientists want to show Darwin? There must have been a lot of discussion about that.
There was a lot of discussion, and one of the big answers was the fossil Lucy, and this is the Australopithecus afarensis fossil, which is really an important species showing the transition from earlier hominids to modern humans. And this is something that Darwin had speculated about, and they say, wouldn't it be wonderful to actually show Darwin some proof of his theories?
Okay, so last one.
Well, Rob, just to end on a fun item, one of our reporters went to a session yesterday about the mathematics of origami. This is about how origami has really gone from being a fun party trick to really a, potentially a very important scientific application. And, well, one of the fun things with origami, scientists talked about, was the origamizer. And this is a computer program a couple of scientists are working on that will allow you potentially to fold any shape with origami. And there's actually a picture of a very cool origami bunny rabbit on the blogs. You should definitely check that out. But it also has serious applications as well. They talked about being able to fold devices for potentially for heart surgery. So you could fold something small enough that would be able to get into the human body and then potentially expand out once it's in there to do whatever sort of medical application it needs to do.
I know they've been using this in the design of spacecraft and other satellites that need to fit into a small compartment, such as in the space shuttle, and then become much bigger once they get out into orbit.
Exactly. And it really looks like origami is going to have a ton of potential applications. So it's not just for cocktail napkins anymore.
So we've still got a good number more sessions and press briefings and things like that to go to. What's on your radar screen?
Well, Rob, for that and for our listeners, you're going to have to check out the blog. We still have another day and a half of the meeting to go, a lot more items to cover, and a lot more fun stuff for the meeting. So definitely check out the blog. You'll find a link on the Science Now site.
That's to the findings blog at sciencenow.sciencemag.org. You can also check out the full range of AAAS and Science Magazine coverage at www.aaas.org/go/news. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Rob.
This has been a special science podcast from the 2009 AAAS Annual Meeting in Chicago, Illinois. If you would, please take a moment to give us your input. Write us at sciencepodcast@aaas.org, or please fill out our online anonymous survey at www.sciencemag.org/multimedia. The show is a production of Science and of AAAS, the Science Society. Jeffrey Cook composed the music, and I'm Robert Frederick. On behalf of Science Magazine and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for joining us.